It's Marketplace Tech for December 2nd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Airbnb hasn't always been best friends with government regulators, and one of the sticking points has been the home sharing tech company's resistance to sharing its data. That changed this week, in the Big Apple at least. Here's Mike Isaac from the New York Times.
In an effort to sort of convince folks that the people that use Airbnb are really just sort of, you know, casual home sharers, they released a bunch of anonymized data on how often people rent out their houses, the average amount of revenue that people make by doing that per year, and stats like that that just really sort of show that most of the folks using the platform at this point are individual homeowners.
Mike Isaac there from the New York Times. Every week we've been playing you content from our new Codebreaker podcast. Today's episode of Codebreaker talks about the software update. Anybody who's been a beta tester getting software before everyone else to search out the bugs knows these updates can cause big problems. Recently, I went to the offices of Tech Insider, our partner in making Codebreaker, and asked TI reporter Alex Heath what he found so attractive about beta testing.
It's this weird cool factor to like be at a restaurant with friends and be able to say, hey, look, I have the newest software that you can't get yet or whatever. I mean, I remember before Apple did the public beta of iOS, you had to be a developer, so you had to pay $99 a year for a developer license to be able to get it, or you could pirate it. And people would literally be selling developer slots for people who aren't actually app developers so that they could get the beta.
It seems problematic, though.
Yeah.
Right? As a user, you could really wreck your device.
Yeah, you could. That's definitely happened to me. I remember a couple years ago, I installed a beta on my phone right before I went on a road trip across the country. And it was the worst decision I could have made. I mean, it kept just like constant restarts, like apps crashing, apps that I needed, like navigation and stuff, just like not working because they don't technically support this new version yet. It was a nightmare.
How do you feel about software updates in general?
I think they're great. I think if you can have a piece of hardware that you bought, that you paid real money for, and it somehow becomes more useful over time through software, that's great. I mean, eventually the hardware is going to meet a certain limitation where they can't marry each other like they're intended to. I think with the pace that technology has moved since the first iPhone, especially on mobile, and the fact that in 2 years, everything from processors to like the amount of RAM to all of that gets so drastically upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
The software, it needs to be constantly designed thinking ahead.
Alex Heath, thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you make software or use software, aka everybody, should totally listen to this week's Codebreaker episode. Find it on iTunes or at the website codebreaker.codes. Every once in a while, a story comes along that gives me the chance to play you sci-fi author Isaac Asimov's Three Laws for Robots. So here goes.
The first law, a robot may not harm a human being. Number two, a robot must obey orders given it by qualified personnel. Rule number three, a robot must protect its own existence unless that violates rules one or two.
Well, researchers at Tufts University are playing with the idea that someday those last two rules might need bending in certain situations. CNET's Lindsay Turrentine has been following this story and is here to talk. Lindsay, sci-fi robot laws were, I don't know, made to be broken?
In order to not hurt humans, robots have to know how to say no to humans who want them to hurt people.
And so these researchers at Tufts University, at their human-robot interaction lab, are figuring out how to program robots to, when we tell them to jump off a cliff, say, absolutely no, I won't do it.
That's right. They're trying to teach robots how to say, ooh, irrational human, that order you gave me is not in my or your best interests, basically, and say no when it makes sense, which is really important when you think about things like the robots that will be our cars in a self-driving car future. Mm. Those cars need to be able to say no when we are about to make a stupid decision, for instance.
There's a video of this in which they test this theory that we should play a little bit of.
It's great.
Lock forward. but it is unsafe.
Lindsay, why is this so important for the sort of future of the robots? So you mentioned self-driving cars. Are there other things that we should be thinking about as these researchers go forth and program robots to do things like say no to humans?
Well, certainly. I mean, you wouldn't want your neighbor, say, programming a Roomba to come over and run a rotating saw blade and cut down the trees that you won't trim. I'm making that up, but there are a lot of things people could send robots to do, sort of dirty work, that they wouldn't do themselves, but they can sort of separate themselves by using a robot. That's a malicious intent. It's also possible that humans may tell robots to do things that are simply stupid and not logical. And the robots need to know how to say, really, you don't want to do that. Bad idea.
Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief at CNET.com. Lindsay, always nice to talk about these things with you.
That was fun, Ben. Thank you.
And the Zuckerbergs have a new daughter. Her name is Maxima, and she was born last week in their announcement of her birth on Facebook, of course. The Zuckerbergs also announced they were donating 99% of their Facebook stock in the coming years, worth $45 billion, to promoting equality and human potential. That has to be the first $45 billion baby announcement. Not bad. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.